Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18. Let's read this. Verses 13 and following. Exodus 18. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. The people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening and lined up. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening?" Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me. And I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I'll give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons. It shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart. He went his way into his own land. Do you remember the study from Ephesians 4 where our Lord ascended on high and he gave gifts unto men? He gave some prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You remember that? I was looking at that and this at the exact same time. They both came up at the exact same time. Things hindered us from looking at this at the time. But it's the same story here as in Ephesians 4. The Old and New Testament go together, don't they? They tell the same story. It's God's Word. They bear witness of each other. And they both bear witness of Christ. The title, the subject here is the God-man. Moses was a man of God. He was God's man. We're going to see he was the only man that spoke to God and God spoke to the people. Only man. And then he had men that he chose, men of God. So Moses, our Lord said, "Moses wrote of me." So this is speaking of Christ. Moses, he's a type of Christ. Every godly man in Scriptures is a type of Christ, especially the prominent ones. Okay? All right, the God-man, look at verse 13. "Came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. The people stood by Moses. They lined up to see him, to hear him." Moses was the man of God who represents Christ, the God-man. All right, Moses was the deliverer. We've seen that. This was the man that God raised up to deliver his people from Egypt. And Christ is the deliverer of his people, the only one. Moses became the ruler, didn't he? He was, as it were, a king over Israel. Not in name, but in office. He was the judge, wasn't he? He was the judge, Moses, a man chosen by God, called by God, sent by God to be the deliverer, the mediator, the ruler, the judge. Now, who can he be? Who can he represent but Christ? Christ, only mediator. Moses was the only man that God spoke to. He didn't speak to Aaron. He spoke to Moses, who spoke to Aaron, right? He didn't speak to the people. People said, don't let God speak to us. You go to God. There's one mediator between God and men. Not all mankind, but men. The man. It's not a woman. It's a man, Jesus Christ. And no other man. Not Paul, not Peter, not St. Christopher, not anyone but Jesus Christ. The one mediator between God and man. Where is that? You need to learn where that is so you can tell your Catholic neighbors. 1 Timothy 2:5. Remember that well. Memorize that. All right? Christ is the only mediator, the only ruler. He rules. Christ reigns and rules. And he's the judge. He's the judge over all. Modern religion says this. Jesus judged no man when he was here. That's what they say. You've heard him say that. He didn't judge anybody. Hold on now. He said, the Father judgeth no man, but committed all judgment to the Son. Judge? He is the judge. He's the judge of all men. In fact, Acts 17 says, God hath ordained a day which he will judge all flesh by that man. He's the judge. The judge. And we're glad. God's people are glad. We've got a just and righteous judge sitting on the throne. He judges his people in righteousness. He deals with his people in righteousness. He does the judge of the earth. We know. We believe. And it gives us great peace. Shall do right. When Abraham was worried about his nephew Lot being in Sodom and some other people he had a burden for, and he prayed to the judge, to God the judge, and he finally, for his own comfort and his confession was, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Talking to someone recently, and they were worried about their lost son. And I said, the judge of the earth shall do right. You just leave it to him. He's going to do what's right by you, by your son. Okay? And that'll give you peace. That'll give you peace. And all of God's people come to him. Verses 13 through 16 says they came to him. Verse 15, the people come unto me to inquire of God. That's what we should do. That's what his people did. God's people, Israel, they all came to Moses. All that the Father giveth me, Christ said, shall do what? Come unto me. They come unto Christ. For what? Everything. He's like Joseph. He's in charge of the storehouses. The ruler has put, God has put him in charge of everything. Like Pharaoh said to all the people, said, if you need anything, go to Joseph. He has it all. And so does our Lord Jesus Christ. We go to him. We go to him. We go to him for answers, for judgment, for understanding. Don't we? And he has made unto us what? Wisdom. Wisdom. Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. We go to him. Come unto me, he said. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. All ye that thirst, any man thirst, come unto me. Come. Come. And John 3, turn there real quickly, John 3. I'm trying my best. I'm going to try my best. You know what every man at his best state is. But I'm going to try my best to shorten these lessons up. I'm going to give you time to get weary. Our Lord said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. Look at John 3, verse 19. Have it. This is condemnation. Light is coming into the world. That's Christ. Men love darkness rather than light. They don't love God. They don't love Christ. They don't love truth. They don't come to Christ. Most people aren't coming to church today to worship Jesus Christ. Coming for all the festivities to see people. Verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, believeth Christ, trusteth Christ, doeth his will, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest thereon in God. Stay there a minute. Stay in John 3. So Moses, though he was just a man, was the man, the only man that God spoke to, the ruler, the only man that people were to come to hear the word of God. And this is what John the Baptist, John, the scripture says, was a man sent by God. That's what it says here. There was a man sent by God. He's God's man. He's not the God-man, but he's a man sent by God. He's God's man. We're going to hear from God to people and hear it through John. But here's what God's man said of the God-man. Look at John 3, verse 19. Verse 30. John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is how you know God's man. And we're going to see more of that in a moment. But he's not interested in people knowing him and people honoring him, his name. His name is not important. He's a nothing. He knows he's a nothing and a nobody from nowhere. Men don't need to know who he is. They don't need to remember his name. There's one name given among men we must be saved. One name under heaven. That's what John the Baptist said, and that's what John the Apostle said. They came to him, what's your name? A voice. Where are you from? Nowhere. Now he, it is. He comes from above. Look at verse 33. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Speaking of Christ. The Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into his hand. So, go back to our text now. So Moses was just a man, but he represents the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many turned against Moses, and when doing so, they turned against Christ. That's what the Scripture said, didn't it? They turned against Christ. Many didn't hear Moses, and so they didn't hear from God. But Moses represents the God-man. If anybody hears from God, they're going to hear through Christ. All right? Now, Moses was a man in this story. He was like the people, just like the people. He was from Egypt. Well, he's a Jew, but he lived in Egypt. He didn't know he was a Jew for a while. He was a Jew all along. Are you reading between the lines? He was a Jew all along. He didn't know it. He thought he was an Egyptian, and he was making his way in the world. But God revealed unto him, you're not an Egyptian, Moses. You're a Jew. You're a Jew. You're not of this world, Moses. You belong to me. Some of us find that out later in life, like Moses, 40 years old. 40 years old. Making his way in the world. He had it made. The world by the tail, a downhill pull, he'd say. But God grabbed hold of him. He said, no, this is not your place, Moses. These are not your people. You're mine. These are your people now. You're going to leave all the finery, the pleasures of sin for a season. You're going to leave all that and count the reproach of Christ greater treasures than everything.
You're going to follow my people through a wilderness on a journey. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Moses was a man. And I am so thankful. Aren't you thankful there's a man in glory? That Jesus Christ became a man. God became a man. Touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Tempted in all points, like as we are. Bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. You know, we are flesh. The Lord knows that. He knows we're flesh. He knows our frame. We're flesh. Flesh has to feel flesh. Don't we? We have to see. We have to feel. We have to hear a voice, an audible voice. We have to be touched and touch, grab hold of. We have to need someone, something to lay hold of. God became a man. Touch me, Sam. Touch me. Oh. Behold my hands. I remember looking at my dad's hand. You know, he just gave me peace. Look at his hands. I thought he could whip anybody on earth. It wasn't true. But it is true of my Father, of our Lord. It is true. He made bare his holy arm. John, you brought that up in your message. Made bare his holy arm. Our Lord is our strength, is our Savior. Anyway, God was manifest in the flesh. God was a man. Morning, Nancy.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you are. Glad to see you.
5 o'clock, sir, Robert, or something.
That's all right. Better late than never. My mom was still laying in bed when I left. But Moses was a man. He knows our weakness. He knows our frame. Even in old age, he said, I'm going to carry you. My dad was strong. There was not a stronger man on earth as far as I was concerned. Not a smarter man, not a wiser man. He became a little child that I had to tend to. And that's where we're all going to get. And our Lord is our strength, isn't it? And our Father became a son. Isn't that wonderful? A man. Moses was a man, and he was weak, and he was weary. Look at verses 17 and 18. This is what Moses' father-in-law said unto him. This, what you're doing is not good. You're going to, verse 18, you're going to wear away. You're going to wear away if you continue to do this. The word wear comes from the word weary. Now, you wear, keep wearing and wearing and working and wearing, you'll get weary. You wear away. And that's what we all do, don't we? Flesh is weak. It goes on and on, and we get weak. Well, our Lord became a man, and Scripture says He was weary. He sat on the well one day, being wearied with His journey. Our Lord journeyed through this world like us. Our Lord went through this wilderness of sin like us. Because the children were partakers of flesh and blood, He Himself took part likewise of the same. He became flesh and He became weary. Weary, He journeyed. Our Lord, as a man, grew weary in the flesh like us. He hungered. Imagine that. He who feeds everything was hungry. He who feeds the birds and had fish feed him. He was weary. He was thirsty. He was tired. He was troubled. I love in John 11 where it says he was troubled, and the margin says he troubled himself. He put himself through trouble. You wouldn't do that. If you didn't have to go through trouble, you wouldn't do it. But if it was for someone you love, you would. You'd go through any amount of trouble, wouldn't you? No trouble too great for you to go through for the one you love. That's our Lord. He troubled himself. He sovereignly put himself through trouble. We become weary with sin, don't we? Sin wearies us. weighs us down. What of our Lord's? He had no sin, but he had to live in it, around it. He had to deal with it. He had to put up with it. And it vexed this righteous man, John, much more than Lot was vexed. He vexed his righteous soul with all that he saw and he heard around him for 33 years for him on this earth was like us spending 100 or more. Can't take, after a while we thought, I can't take this anymore. He wearied himself, wearied with sin. We're weary with trials, aren't we? Trials wear us away. Troubles. How long, Lord? David said, how long, Lord? How much longer have I got to go through this trouble, this pain and suffering and sorrow? Well, our Lord was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. What about responsibilities? You got people pulling at you. You got your children depending on you, and you feel responsible for it. That's a heavy burden in it. Our Lord had the weight of the world on his shoulders. Every day, every person, every place, everything depended on him. How would you like that? Became weary. Weary. Weary with sorrow. A man of sorrows. Well acquainted with grief. Verse 18, Jethro said to Moses, you need help. This thing's too heavy for you. You're not able to perform it. You're alone. You know, our Lord as a man needed help. Listen to it. Listen carefully. Our Lord as a man needed help. But he never got that help from man. Do you hear me? He needed help as a man, but he never got his help from man. He did not ask that woman at the well for water. He did not ask her for water. He did not ask her. That's his well. That's his bucket. That's his water. That's his woman. He didn't come for water. He came for her. He told her, give me to drink. He didn't come for that water. He didn't need help. The Lord didn't need help from man. And we need to learn that. He did not seek his help from man. He did not get his help from man. Who did he get his help from? God. And so should we. Over and over and over again, the scripture says, vain is the help of man. We try to help each other, don't we? And we should. We try to help. We try to bear one another's burdens. We try. Try as we may, we can be of no real, lasting, effectual help. How can we help them? One way. We tell them what he said. We bring his word to them. Our only help for them is his help for us. If he helps us tell them about him, who is our help, then they're helped. And that's our Lord. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. How about you? Now, listen to me carefully. If you haven't heard a thing I've said so far, hear that. Vain is the help of man. You need help. I need help. You're not going to get it from one another. You're going to get it from one place. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this, every type, my pastor used to say, no type walks on four legs. You can't make this say perfectly. You can't make it fit Christ completely. Here's what Jethro said in verse 18. He said, 18, your way is too heavy for you. You're not able to do this alone. That's not so of Christ, is it? This one man did what? By himself purged our sin. He's able, all right. If he's not able, we're gone. Nobody helped him but God. He's able. And he did. He performed it. He didn't wear away. He's like that rock. The water keeps falling on. He didn't wear him away. He finished it by himself. Notice verse 16. Says, he said, when the people have a matter, they come to me and I judge. Verse 20. And Jethro said, you teach them ordinances, laws, and show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. That's why Moses came, to show them, the people, the way. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to make us know God, didn't he? No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal it. You cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. That's what he said. The Son of God hath come and given us an understanding. Moses came to, God sent Moses to show the way to God, didn't he? The way to God. Christ came and said, that's right, I am the way. They said, you're just a man. That's right. I am God before I became a man. And a man can only come to God through a man. The second Adam. You understand that, don't you? You really do. Show us the way. Christ is the way. It said in verse 20, you'll show them the way they must walk. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ came to. What did he say? Follow me. How must we walk? Follow me. Follow me. Now, you don't walk out in front of him. You walk behind him. Why? He's the way. You're not going to get in the glory except by him. Okay? He's going to bring you to God. Follow him. Don't try to come to God on your own. Here I am. Follow him. Follow him. Walk by faith. Follow Christ. And yes, the way to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the work? Show us the work. You show us the work that we must do. They came to Christ over in John 6, didn't they? And they said, what must we do to work the works of God? What did he say? What did he say? This is the work of God. This is what God requires of you. This is what you must do in order to get to God and be in heaven with God. Believe on the Son of God, on him whom thou hast sent. That's the work of God. It's what God accepts, and it's God's work for you to do that. Not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You mean nothing for me to do to get to God? Nothing. But believe. And even you didn't do that. It's God that worketh in us, both the will. Well, a few people. All right. Let's look at these men of God in closing. I've got 2 minutes. Look at verse 21 and 22. Thou shalt provide out of the people able men that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place these men over the people, rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens, judges. That's what he said. These were men of God, like Ephesians 4, some prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Thank God for the men that God has raised up. Men of like passion, like we are, like Moses. Men to rule. Yes, rule. We need somebody to rule us. We do. Man can't rule himself. Democracy doesn't work. It doesn't work. Look at it. We need a ruler, a just judge, don't we? A ruler. A man to teach us, his people. Men like Moses, Joshua, Samuel. Can you imagine having a president like David? Can you imagine? Oh, Isaiah, Henry, Scott, David, Edmondson, Gabe. Would you like for Gabe to be president of the United States? He'd get my vote. Able men. Their abilities of God, their sufficiency of God, they get their wisdom from God, not from man. They fear God.
You fear God, you won't fear men. You fear God, you won't fear to tell men the truth. That would have cost you votes.
Fear God. It says, men of truth. Tell the truth, the men of Christ. Preach Christ. This is how you know. This is how you know the men that God sent and raises up to rule His church. They fear God and they tell you the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. That's all they do. They're not liars. They're not evil men and seducers. They're men of truth. They preach Christ. The truth. They preach the truth of God's Word. Verse 21, it says they hate covetousness. Oh, hate it. That's pretty much the description of modern preachers, covetous men. And God places over them, as he sees fit, in various places, large city, small city, thousands, hundreds, tens, fifties. I know one of the greatest preachers ever lived. He preached to 7 people for 100 years. His name was Noah. And everybody said, you all think you're right and everybody's wrong. No, Noah said, we know God is right and everybody's wrong. And this ark is it. And that's all we're about. If you're in this ark, you're going to be saved. Message over.